All right, welcome to Endpoint Sight. Jeremy from Kentucky on Republic Broadcasting Network. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. Smash that donate. Send the fundage that you know you need to keep free speech alive for your children and grandchildren. This is the Tuesday night broadcast with the dynamic duo, Patrick Slattery. Welcome to the show. Glad to have you, my friend.
Well, it's good to be here, wherever that may be.
And we had a little extra Patrick and Jeremy last week on Thursday night. William couldn't make it. And, if you missed that, please tune into the archives. It was a great show. But I guess tonight, we're going to start with, a Daily Stormer article that I pulled up. The most trusted name in news is what I've heard. Except,
yeah,
sometimes-
it certainly is. It certainly is. You know, CNN tried to get that as their signature phrase, their catchphrase, the most trusted name in news. They actually, you know who they used to say it was Darth Vader. They literally had Darth Vader saying the most trusted name in news. You know, the black guy who does Darth Vader. And,
right.
And the thing is, and I know Andrew Anglin says that his, one of his goals or his dream is to acquire the New York Times building and what is he going to fly the swastika from it or something? I don't know what he's going to do, but he's going to acquire the New York Times building. But I've been referring to his website as the most trusted name in news because it is way more accurate than anything in the mainstream.
And that was back when he, before he was banned from everything, I think, you know, he anticipated getting enough listenership and donations. If he were allowed on the mainstream, you know, his voice could probably reach those heights. But now,
and
not so much.
I do have to say, though, I don't know why the hell he'd want to be in that building. You know, I've been there, and it's near Times Square. I think that's what Times Square is actually named after, is the Times. It's not Times Square. It's Times Square. So it's in the middle of New York. It's in the middle of Stolia. So I don't know why he'd want to buy the building. But if that's what he wants, I support him in it.
And if anybody were to dominate that, that would be Dr. David Duke. I pulled up, I showed Zaklon T because he was maybe 1 year old when this happened, when David Duke owned Wolf Blitzer, when David was at the Iranian Holocaust Conference. And Wolf Blitzer, you know, tried to belittle him, and he just like made mincemeat of Blitzer, and I don't think he's been on CNN since.
He actually has been. Yeah. He's been on CNN since.
Okay. But he called Blitzer out as a Jewish agent of AIPAC.
And I think the last time he was on CNN, he was on the Smirkanish show. It's like Smirk. There's this Jewish guy. He's got a bald head, and he's not blue. But he's like Smurf Conish or something. That's his name. And David went on his show and talked about the Jews. David didn't even realize that Smurf Conish was Jewish himself. and David's very good at that. I think that was the last time he was on CNN. But he was also supposed to be on the CNN headline with Dr. Drew. And well, he actually appeared, but Dr. Drew, what's the guy's name? He's another Jew, but he's not so bad. Dr. Drew. I don't know. He's like a handsome guy with horn-rimmed glasses, and he does a medical show. And but he was doing a show, and there were a lot of black women in the studio audience and on the stage with him. And the moment Dr. Duke appeared on screen, they just started having a Negress ruckus, and and then CNN just pulled the plug on Dr. Duke, and Dr. Drew actually seemed really angry, and he started yelling at the engineer, and that was, I think, the last time that David Duke was on CNN. That's the last time I recall. That would have been about 2013, maybe.
I remember he was on Bill O'Reilly about 7 years ago when it was reported that Steve Scalise had attended some sort of you know, American whiteness meeting. And they were questioning Dr. Duke on that. And he turned Bill O'Reilly into mincemeat too. So they just quit having him on any mainstream media. But You remember that one when he was on Bill O'Reilly?
No, I don't.
You can Google that. It's on YouTube.
Yeah, but I started working. Yeah.
David was plugging his book, Secret Behind Communism, the whole time that he was on the show.
Yeah. No, I didn't see that. And I started working with David in like about 10 years ago. And yeah. Almost exactly to the day, 10 years ago. And the first year and a half, 2 years maybe, he was still getting on. He was still getting on these shows from time to time. He was on, oh gosh, who was the guy who, Fox, Hannity and Combs. He was on Alan Combs' show. And again, he didn't realize Alan Combs was Jewish. And Alan Combs, Smirconish too was pretty fair with David. And Alan Combs was totally fair with David and let David like say all this stuff about Jews. And he didn't even hardly push back. He did die shortly after that. He was pretty nice to David, though, I will say that.
Well, the point is that voices like David and Andrew England, I mean, they're not going to be allowed on mainstream because they're too intelligent and they'll just take over the narrative and completely, you know, dominate whatever hosts that they're talking with. But yeah, back to the Stormer, let's see, stormer-daily.rw.
I was going to say one other thing. You know, I mentioned that he didn't realize Smirconish was Jewish. I didn't even realize it at the time. And I don't think I knew if Alan Combs was Jewish at the time. But the thing is, it's not as if David really would have done much differently if he knew they were Jewish. He might have done it a little bit differently, but he would still be – it's not as if he would pull his punches. If anything, he might have gone even more hardcore if he knew they were Jewish.
Well, you're not hardcore unless you live hardcore.
Hardcore is as hardcore does.
It is. To the Stormer article, U.S.-backed terrorist group claims responsibility for bombing Russian embassy in Kabul. So apparently ISIS hit the U.S. embassy. And ISIS is well known, I guess now with the advent of the internet, the people having access to the internet, it's known that ISIS is backed by the U.S. And even by Israel if people dig enough. And from RT, Russia Today, Islamic State, formerly ISIS, has claimed responsibilities for Monday's suicide bombing in Kabul. The blast occurred not far from the entrance to the Russian embassy in the Afghan capital and killed 25 people, including two embassy staff members. What do you suppose this, the goal of this was? To further entice Russia into becoming more militant? What do you think?
Okay, this is ISIS. This is the ISIS K, right? The ISIS K we heard about that did the suicide bombing of the Kabul airport against the Taliban and against the withdrawing American troops a year ago. And so, in Afghanistan, so what did they bomb?
The embassy there, the Russian embassy.
The Russian embassy.
Yeah, it occurred not far from the entrance to the Russian embassy. Apparently, two Russian ambassadors, I think, were killed.
Two Russian diplomats were killed?
Yeah.
Yeah. That is kind of a coincidence. And of course, obviously, the Soviets fought for about 10 years, close to 10 years in Afghanistan, and that was one of the things that weakened the Soviet Union. That was one of the straws on the camel's back when the camel eventually broke up. So, yeah, I mean, ISIS has always had some sort of relationship with American intelligence, with the Mossad, with American allies, however you want to put it. The Brandon himself in remarks that David Duke frequently plays on his show, speaking before the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard University back in maybe 2015 when he was vice president, said, the problem we have is our allies keep they keep helping ISIS. They keep sending weapons to ISIS, our allies. And so, I mean, there's always been, the United States has always been an effective alliance with ISIS.
Yeah.
Why not? The United States' goal was to overthrow Assad, and ISIS was fighting against Assad. So,
well, I mean, the Brandon entity is actually an asset to us in a lot of ways. You know, in what he's admitted, not only to that, but also to, you know, Jews being responsible for bringing homosexuality and gay marriage to the U.S. It's when he says these honest things, maybe off script, that he becomes our asset. This, you know, I'll refer to a paragraph in the Stormer article written by Andrew. Quote, the U.S. will vaguely claim they are not responsible for everything that ISIS does, despite admitting to training them, arming them, and sending them money for years. Hillary Clinton campaigned in 2016 on shooting down Russian jets over Syria to protect ISIS terrorists and enable them to overthrow the Syrian government. So it wasn't ever a secret. Many congressional meetings were held, unquote. It's Andrew's paragraph in the middle of this article. So yeah, I remember that. I remember that whole thing where she literally campaigned on shooting down Russian planes and starting World War II with Russia.
Yeah. She wanted to declare a no-fly zone over Russia. When she was asked point blank at one of the debates, and I think it was a debate she was having with Bernie Sanders during the primaries, and she was asked, well, wouldn't establishing a no-fly zone over Syria, wouldn't that mean you'd have to shoot down Russian planes? And she just said, I don't think I need to talk about that. I don't think we need to talk about that. And they didn't really push her on it very hard. They should have.
What does it even matter?
What does it even matter? What difference does it make? What difference does it make if we shoot down Russian planes? It's all a vast right-wing conspiracy.
Wiping the hard drive? What do you mean, wipe it with a cloth? What are you talking about? So yeah, a normal like voters, normal Americans didn't want to get into a conflict with Russia. And as we mentioned last week, hardcore Trump supporters back then, when they were told, hey, Russia is supporting Trump and maybe interfered in the elections, they were like, good. We support Russia now. It was basically the mentality of the Trump voters. So again, I mean, the American electorate are ignorant. I think they want, I'm not saying I want a dictator. I'm not saying that that's what I want. I want the American Republic to be reestablished the way the founders envisioned it. But the average, you know, electorate, the average voter, I mean, they want someone to come in and take charge and to make things right. And whenever people were telling them that Trump is a dictator, he's a fascist, he's this and he's that, I mean, they just owned it. And they're like, good, I hope he does come in and take care of this stuff. I mean, do you have a comment on that, maybe on the average person and, you know, their willingness to accept a dictator if the dictator will act in their favor and in the favor of the country?
I mean, honestly, after everything that's going on, how are people supposed to tell a dictator apart from what we've got now? You know,
well, yeah, I mean, and the left is embracing this. The left wants this. The left openly admits that they want a dictator to come in and squash the right wingers that are stopping them from having child trannies and all the thing, and, you know, vaccine mandates. And I mean, they want a dictator. The left does. They openly admit it.
A dictator in the name of democracy.
Whatever that is.
There's a lot of campaigning going on. We're now full out in electioneering season. We're full out in electioneering season. And I do go out and I do talk to groups of regular Trump people who are, you know, at one political event or another. And on the one hand, people know that there's something seriously wrong going on, and I think they understand fully that this isn't just your father's or your grandfather's political problems, that we're really facing a crisis. They understand that on the one hand. On the other hand, I think they really don't know what's going on. They don't know they know something's up, but they don't know exactly what it is. And you know, I was talking to somebody not too long ago, and we were talking about the Biden or the Brandon, and I'd made the point that, well, somebody had made the point that if you went back a few decades, liberals weren't talking about these things. They weren't talking about these things. And, you know, Biden himself is making speeches about super predators or I guess Hillary said super predators, but Biden was making speeches. And somebody said, yeah, Biden said he didn't want his kids to go to school with, he didn't want his kids to go to school with blacks. And, you know, they call Trump racist, but look how racist, I mean, nobody, Biden's the most racist president we've ever had. I was like, well, actually, you know, the stuff that Biden was saying 30 years ago, that was what people were thinking, right? Biden was never smart. He was never smart, but he was at least, he was reflecting, you know, he was a politician, he was reflecting what at least the people in Delaware were thinking. He was, you know, he was more or less, he was a lot better in touch then. You know, now he's so old, he's not in touch, and he's just doing what he has to do. But what he had to do 30 years ago, he had to stay in touch with the voters of Delaware. The voters in Delaware, you know, Delaware is a state with, even back then it had like a 20% black population. It's probably higher now. And, desegregation and whatnot, because Delaware was a slave state, by the way. It wasn't a Confederate state, but it was a slave state. And there was desegregation caused a lot of problems for people. And, you know, the Biden was just simply reflecting that.
Are we doing the break thing or are we going straight?
Let's not do the break thing. Let's just go. Let's just go with it.
So yeah, so Biden was reflecting the will of the people on desegregation. Yeah.
But you know, where we were at in that conversation was this guy wanting to own Biden and own the liberals by the Dems being the real racists, which is not really the way forward. Adopting, you know, and obviously this is no hot take on my part, but simply adopting the value system of your enemies and saying that you live up to your enemy's value system better than they do, how far does that get you?
It's shifting the whole conversation. You know, it's shifting the whole thing, not to the issue of segregation or black crime or whatever. It's shifting the issue as to, you know, who has what point of view on this and who is perceived as a racist. I mean, that's what it is now, but if you go back in the 90s, what was the talking point all through the 90s? Immigration. That was when NAFTA, you know, was being crafted by both Bush and Clinton.
Trade. Not really immigration, but trade. Yeah.
Well, yeah, trade. The issue was giving away our jobs. The real issue should have been, do we want all of these third world people coming in here and displacing whites? But they shifted the issue to our jobs. And so Republicans and Democrats in the 90s, you know, we're competing over who's going to protect American jobs the most.
So, and now in the 1990s, so in the 1980s, you did have illegal immigration. You did wind up with, in, I guess, 1986, you had the Simpson-Mazzoli bill, which offered amnesty to what was then a much smaller batch of illegal aliens. And the idea was, okay, well, we'll do this one-time amnesty, get the house in order, and then we're going to have some real border security so we don't get any more illegal.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Amnesty to what was then a much smaller batch of illegal aliens. And the idea was, okay, well, we'll do this one-time amnesty, get the house in order, and then we're going to have some real border security so we don't get any more illegal aliens. And of course, they just got the amnesty. They didn't get the border security. But it wasn't that huge of an issue. It was because it wasn't making as much impact. I mean, I guess if you were in Texas or Arizona or California, you might have been seeing it. But if you were elsewhere in the country, you just, with maybe a few exceptions, maybe a few of the big cities, you just weren't seeing a whole lot of Hispanic immigrants one way or another. You weren't seeing them that much. They hadn't changed the landscape so much. Regarding trade, one thing that happened with the dismemberment of the Soviet Union and the fall of the Berlin Wall was, at least in academia, and academia is kind of an opinion leader on a lot of these issues, you had this consensus, when I say liberal consensus, I don't mean Democratic Party consensus, but this free trade consensus, liberal international economics, meaning no, you know, protectionism is wrong, lower tariff barriers. This is when the World Trade Organization came into being, and NAFTA came into being in the 90s. These were all free trade, and that dominated the economics departments of universities at the time. That, you know, this, it was the end of history, and capitalism and free trade won. Of course, it wound up hollowing out our, what little was left of our manufacturing base.
Well, but as you pointed out, it all sort of started with the Simpson-Mazzoli Immigration Reform and Control Act of 1986, right, under Reagan, Reagan and Bush the Elder. That sort of greased the skids for it. And then it became a talking point in the 90s amongst both Republicans and Democrats. I mean, you know, as we can look back now in retrospect and say, well, they were both working together to just bring us what we have now, like total white displacement. That was really the end goal, wasn't it? To bring as many third worlders in here as possible, as many brown people, to displace whites and to make us a minority in our own country.
So the Jewish motivation, that's been the Jewish motivation.
Yeah.
And you can look at papers that have been written by Jews going back to certainly the 1950s, probably before that, talking about the desirability of mass immigration in order to dilute the white ethnic majority and the possibility of a ethnically based nationalism akin to you know, the Third Reich. So this has been a Jewish goal. Now, if you go back to the 1980s and you look at the immigration issue, which wasn't nearly as high profile an issue as it became after Trump, but it was there, and both parties were divided. Both parties had pro-immigration and anti-immigration wings. And with the Republican Party, it was the pro-immigration wing was the business community, you know, the Chamber of Commerce, and the anti-immigration wing was, you know, a lot of the Southerners who had left the Democratic Party and came to the Republican Party in the great realignment, political realignment of the 60s and 70s. They were social conservatives, and they did have the most racial consciousness of any group, any white group in the country. So you had that in the Republican Party. In the Democratic Party, you had, you know, the kind of the Jewish wing of the Democratic Party, which was very pro-immigration, you know, and the people that they easily influenced, like women. You know, these poor people just want to, make a better life for themselves. You had that wing, but you also had a lot of opposition to immigration from the labor unions, which at the time, the labor unions had Americans in them. I think labor union opposition to immigration started to wane once you started getting a lot of, immigrants and even illegal immigrants into the labor unions. They started changing their story, but in the 1980s, the labor unions were very anti-immigration. And in fact, the United Farm Workers under, Cesar Chavez, was that his name? He, in the 1960s, he had organized a boycott against grapes and things like that. He was, you know, obviously of Mexican heritage himself, but he was staunchly anti-immigrant and even organized like gangs to beat up illegal immigrants. So that was the landscape 40 years ago.
And an even bigger great realignment in 2015, 2016 with Trump, because you had all of these principled leftists who were against war, Democrats who were for the unions and didn't like our jobs being outsourced, and then even, you know, independents.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
'15, 2016 with Trump, because you had all of these principled leftists who were against war, Democrats who were for the unions and didn't like our jobs being outsourced, and then even, you know, independents, you know, you had people from all walks of all political parties, libertarians, who liked Trump's message. And, you know, who wanted to stop this whole thing. And that sort of was backed by a Jewish fringe that I've mentioned so many times before of, you know, Stephen Steinlatt of the Center of Immigration Studies. You know, he wrote the paper in, I think it was October of 2001, you know, the Jewish interest in the changing demography, of America, the Jewish stake. And his whole thing, it's fascinating if you read this paper. I mean, Steinlatt openly admits that Jews control immigration and that they push it. And his whole premise was we should slow it down because we're going too far too fast and we're going to create a white lash. Now, this was in 2001. And, you know, the very fringe sliver of Jews in his that backed him saw this. They saw what we're witnessing now come to pass where you're getting a backlash from all parties. Republican, Democrat, you know, independent libertarians. And that's what Trump was. Trump's movement, whether he knew it or not, or whether he intended it to be, the whole movement of Trump was the backlash to foreign wars, immigration, you know, our jobs being outsourced. And so you had an even greater political realignment happen in 2016 than we've talked about before. Right.
Yeah, you did have massive political realignment, and Trump, his signature issue was immigration. You know, build the wall. Build the wall was, if you want to boil down the 2016 campaign, it's build the wall. And that's extremely significant. And, you know, other things, he had foreign policy, you know, he was vaguely anti-war, even in kind of like an aggressive, bellicose way. And he was for renegotiating trade deals. But it was immigration. That was his issue. And I have to wonder, you know, so you can look back at Steven Steinlein's paper about predicting a white lash against immigration and say, wow, that was prophetic. But it almost didn't happen, because until Trump came along and he and Empress Melania went down the escalator in Trump Tower in, what was that, July? Or was that June? Until then,
2015.
Who was the most prominent? What was the most prominent voice, anti-immigration voice in America? It was probably Lou Dobbs on, what, Fox Business or wherever his show was.
Well, Ann Coulter had her book too.
Ann Coulter had her book, which is probably, you know, Ann Coulter says that she had sent it to Trump, and it's perhaps he just happened to read it, or, you know, gotten a synopsis of it. Because I don't really see him sitting around reading books that much. But
no.
But that may well have been what influenced that speech that he made. That speech when he came down the escalator, where he said, you know, Mexico, they're not sending their best. They're sending murderers. They're sending they're murderers. They're rapists, and presumably some of them are good people. Presumably. Which was like, you know, like an extremely rude thing to say, but it was an awesome thing to say, and it really resonated with people. But if Trump hadn't come along, who else could have effectively taken up that mantle in such a aggressive way?
Well, really? And that's why I think these right wing, these fringe Jews that don't want to go kamikaze like the Steinleitian, you know, wing, they back Trump. You know, they totally backed him. And, you know, and then once like people like the late Sheldon Adelson saw which way the winds were blowing, the political winds, you know, he put hundreds of millions of dollars into Trump when he realized he was going to be the Republican nominee. And so you see this whole realignment of Jewish power. You see this also, Patrick, on social issues. What was happening in 2015 and 2014? Obama was at the end of his second term, and he was pushing, you know, trannies in the bathroom and homo marriage. You know, and he got it. And so that caused a lot of old school 1980s Democrats to be like, this is not what we signed up for. You know, we want workers' rights and unions.
It's not what they signed up for. And it's not what they voted for in 2008, because that's not what Obama campaigned on. Gay marriage was starting to be put into the political arena by, you know, John Stewart and other activists. And
Leibowitz. Jonathan Leibowitz.
Oh yeah. No, he like, I always thought of him as being being instrumental in pushing the gay marriage thing. Now, of course, at the time I was watching his Daily Show on a nightly basis, but and there was probably others who were maybe equally instrumental, other Jews, but I don't think there was any, I mean, Hillary, the 2008 race was that was between Hillary and Barack Obama and I guess John Edwards. I think those were the three major candidates, and none of them were for gay marriage.
Let's just get their
opinions, but they weren't for gay marriage. And they certainly weren't talking about tranny.
Well, let's dissect it a little more. I mean, you know, it did cause, you know, Trump's campaign did cause a major realignment of not only political power, but Jewish political power. And so a lot of these Jews that would line up with Steinlein, which is a fringe, you know, they probably wouldn't be against homo marriage or trannies. They just didn't want America to have a white lash and go against them. So they aligned with Trump, and Trump sort of became this avatar, you know, for America from the 1970s or 80s, right? Like, make America great again. I mean, make America white again. Am I right? And they sort of went on board with this, just, you know, maybe begrudgingly, but they went on board with it anyway. to call it to try to prevent a greater catastrophe against them. You know, what's good for the Jews? Because Trump, I mean, Trump gave a wink and a nod to the homo stuff and the training stuff. I mean, seriously, he did. Remember when he was asked if Bruce Jenner wanted to use the women's bathroom in one of his hotels? He's like, yeah, sure, whatever. Remember that? And then you had this whole, like, Milo Yiannopoulos, like, fags for Trump. I mean, wasn't that so gay? Like, literally?
And it was literally gay.
I mean, so you see, like, I can understand why people would say, why cynics would say, well, Trump was a shill and a Jewish shill. Because so many Jews got on board with it. They didn't want the massive immigration, but yet they didn't want to push totally against the social reforms. And so you had, like, people like Milo and, you know, Peter Thiel, the big Jewish homo that spoke at the Republican, you know, conference in 2016 when Trump was, you know, nominated the Republican winner. You know, Peter Thiel spoke there. That was a big thing. So you can see the subversion of the Trump movement. And I think it led to what we saw, what we witnessed with our own eyes. And that was the Trump platform being completely decimated and made virtually ineffective.
So, I mean, there's a lot there, and Trump did, he was the catalyst for a realignment of American politics, and at least to an extent, and at least for a period of time, realignment of Jewish politics. Maybe not as significantly, and maybe not long lasting, but, you mentioned Stephen Steinlight, and people like Stephen Steinlight or Stephen Miller, who certainly fear that white backlash. They and are, you know, dedicated anti-immigration activists. I mean, they're dedicated. Maybe they have their own separate motivation. Maybe they think it's because it's going to be bad for Jews in the long run. But they're still dedicated anti-immigration activists. So those people were supporting Trump. I think this is my own analysis of it. I think Trump made a decision early on. Because immigration was the centerpiece of his campaign, and because immigration, really, in America, immigration for Jewish power as a whole is an even higher priority than Israel, because they got Israel in the bag. So you really don't have, I mean, you don't have to worry about Israel. You don't have to devote time to it. The high priority was really immigration. I mean, the highest priority is stifling anti-Semitism. That's the highest priority. But after that, I would say immigration is the highest priority. And because he's going after their highest priority, I think he wanted to do a little bit of divide and conquer. And so I think that's why he knew he was going to have, you know, the main Jewish power against him, but he wanted to at least have some Jewish allies. And I think that's why he went so pro-Israel. Right, because he figured he'd get, you know, he could offer up moving the embassy to Jerusalem. He could offer up things like recognizing Israeli law over the Golan Heights, that type of thing, and he could trash the Iran nuclear deal. These he could get the likes of a Sheldon Adelson, who probably doesn't support his immigration policies, but at least could be brought on board, or at least neutralized as a Moneybags opponent by offering up these tidbits for Israel. And then I think he also tried to gain favor with the Wall Street Jews. And I think the Wall Street Jews, they might not have become genuine or like de facto Trump supporters the way the Uber Israel people did. But at least they weren't actively trying to undermine them, the Wall Street people, or at least not to the same extent. So I think he mitigated it to an extent. I mean, yeah, you've got Goldman Sachs forbid its partners from contributing to Donald Trump, things like that. But still, you know, things were going really well for Wall Street during the Trump administration. And I think that was his strategy, was to get at least some Jewish allies. I don't think it was a good strategy in the long run, but I think that was his political calculus.
Well, it's not an excuse, but rather an explanation, I think, that you're offering.
Yeah.
But you mentioned Stephen Miller. I mean, yeah, Miller was totally anti-immigration. Stephen Miller in the early aughts, you know, was at Duke University with Richard Spencer.
Mm-hmm.
And they would do anti-immigration rallies at Duke. I mean, this is verified. You can pull this up and verify it. And so, I mean, this would explain the whole, like, alt-right, you know, pretty much the alternative right, the alt-right, was key in getting Trump elected, which, you know, a lot of people participated in. I mean, you know, people would consider you and David Duke part of the alt-right, or Andrew Anglin, or TRS, you know, or any of these. And so, you know, you had Miller in there, and I think Spencer, that might explain why Spencer has gone bad as of late. I mean, they used him early on as like the face of the young, new alt-right. You know, he was doing the Roman salutes and all that, you know, at the Trump rallies. And now he sort of went off into this other tangent. And I don't want to trash, well, maybe I do want to trash Richard Spencer. Like, you can disavow if you want to, but I think he was a mover and shaker early on in the alt-right. And then when they figured out that he was not useful to them, they just sort of pushed him to the side. And he's turned into what he is now. But I mean, Stephen Miller wrote most of Trump's speeches. If you look that up, the totally base speeches, I'm pretty sure Miller wrote his address to the nation, his inauguration speech in 2017.
He very well may have. And that was a good speech. It was actually an excellent speech.
And so this is an example of Jews, you know, some of these Steinleitian, you know, type Jews figuring out which way the wind was blowing and just jumping on this thing and riding it out as long as they can and getting out of it what they can. You know, and even Trump's son-in-law, Kushner. I mean, Kushner was a total leftist, a total, you know, libtard that would have supported all of this degenerate stuff. But he got on board and supported Trump reluctantly and stuck with it until he could subvert all that he could subvert.
Yeah. Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump did not even vote for Donald Trump in the Republican primary in New York. You know why? Because they were registered as Democrats. They weren't qualified to vote in the Republican primary.
And then all of a sudden in April of 2017, you know, she wants a pony and she's like, oh, daddy, look at these gas babies. They're so sad. And so let's lob some missiles into Syria. You know, you have that going on.
So, hey, I mean, speaking of ponies, sorry.
Yeah.
I'll let you finish.
No, that's all I had. I mean, my point was, this is like a gangster family. I mean, like you would watch in a movie, like, you know, what's the famous movie about gangsters? The Godfathers?
Yeah,
I mean,
the Godfathers.
You know, there's different, you may have a Don. You may have a Don giving out orders, but there's different brothers and nephews and cousins that have their own agendas, and sometimes they work against each other, right? And it looks a little chaotic. All right.
So speaking of ponies, there's this four-panel comic meme out there that I've been sending to people. I don't know if I've sent it to you. I've sent it to a lot of the RBN hosts. At any rate, you've got a little girl, and she's like at a farm, and she's looking out into this field, and there's a pony there, and there's a little fairy hovering above her. That's the first square. And the second square is the little girl looks at the fairy and says, "You're a fairy." And the fairy says, "That's right, and I've come to grant you a wish." And then the third square is the little girl saying, "I want to be able to speak with ponies." And the fourth square is the girl crouching and looking like really disappointed and dejected. And the horse is, or the pony is behind her saying, "Deborah, it's the Jews." And, you know, I wish that was the pony that Trump gave to Ivanka.
No, it was to protect gas babies from having water sprayed on them and having their eyes.
Speaking of ponies and speaking of Ivanka, what about Tom Brady?
Okay, here's the thing. I mean, you're getting into more prep here. Let me come back to Tom Brady.
Maybe that might go into the next show then.
I definitely want to get into Tom Brady and his whore's wife leaving him. But let's deal with this bombing at the Russian embassy in Afghanistan. I mean, so what do you think? I mean, ISIS backed by U.S. and Israel trying to get Russia to up the ante and be more aggressive so that they can demonize them. That's my take. Your take?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good take. And Andrew Anglin's already had a good take. You know, he said, oh, well, I mean, what's the United States going to say? Yeah, these guys, we don't even have, they will just automatically attack our enemies even with without us telling them to. So there's nothing we can do about it.
But the U.S. knows that Russia knows that the U.S. and Israel support ISIS. You know what I mean? I mean, it's a blatant slap in the face. It's throwing the gauntlet down. Calm before the storm.
The invasion continues. I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. 4.9 million illegal aliens that we know of have entered the nation since Biden took office. 900,000 were gotaways, who were seen but not apprehended. 56 known terrorists were captured in the 4 million aliens that were processed. So using the same ratio of terrorists to aliens, there were probably 12 or more terrorists in the 900,000 gotaways. In reality, that ratio is probably higher because criminals and terrorists don't want to be caught. Fentanyl is now 2/3 of the overdose deaths in America. 1,200 people have been found dead on the U.S. side of the southern border. At least a dozen terrorists roam free in our country. Tell me again how an open border is the humane thing to do. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow. Civis Pacem, Parabellum.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one. Rad. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our 5th bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with
It is useless to resist us.
We don't even have, they will just automatically attack our enemies even with without us telling them to, so there's nothing we can do about it.
But the U.S. knows that Russia knows that the U.S. and Israel support ISIS. You know what I mean? Mm. I mean, it's a blatant slap in the face. It's throwing the gauntlet down.
Yeah. Yeah, the thing is, they don't have the Jewish A-team. You don't have the Jewish Mr. T out there running things. This is their bench squad. Victoria Nuland, the people who are running this war, these are not their best. They're murderers. They're rapists. I don't even know if presumably any of them are good people. And no. you've got the Jewish A team, the intellectual A team, like, you know, Jeffrey Sachs and Henry Kissinger and Noam Chomsky, and they're all saying, cool it, guys, you know, this has gone too far. But these people, the State Department, these people, they don't know how to back down. And, you know, I'm doing some editing on a book I, intend to publish later this year, and I was going back over the 2014 coup, and you're just seeing all these names that were involved. You're seeing, and going back, you know, even deeper into the whole Ukrainian thing, Anthony Blinken's father was involved in this stuff as ambassador to Hungary. He was involved in some of the negotiations over Crimea. You know, you get all these people who are involved, and it's just going back, and this and it's been an unmitigated disaster, and they can't back out. So we're pretty close to the end of the show. You might want to sum it up before picking it over to the next show.
So, I mean, the name of the game is to get Russia to commit atrocities and to push forward with their conquest of the Ukraine in order to demonize them and in order to validate these insane sanctions that the West has put on Russia, which is only hurting the West. And we're going to see this hurt, you know, this fall. We're just now experiencing the consequences of the 2020 shutdowns. And we have yet to experience the 2021 nonsense. And now the 2022 sanctions on Russia, Europe is going to feel the sting really bad, because I think we've got a bad winter coming up, according to the almanac. And people are lining up in Europe to buy coal. A lot of people in Poland heat their homes with coal, and they're lacking right now. They're not able to fill their basements full of coal. And, you know, I think the whole thing with the Ukraine was the U.S. wanted to control the gas flow from Russia to the Europe.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I just had a dog issue. Anyway,
so
you know, you're saying that, and it makes perfect sense, but I can't help but hearing the echoes of Europe is going to experience pain, a winter of cold and death and starvation, but without going through this transformation, Europe will not survive.
Europe has not yet learned how to experience pain because of the Ukraine, and that's a transformation that Jews will be a part of, and they'll be resented for that transformation.
Yeah. Barbara Luna Spector.
Tune in to Patrick and Jeremy tomorrow on National Bugle, 1 p.m. Central. Be there or be a flaming queer.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.